Welcome to Look Ahead Radio and Viewpoints Around the World. My name is Tom Arms, and in a moment I'll be joined by my old friend Lockwood Phillips. We're starting off the new year with talks about the government shutdown in America, the latest on Brexit, New Year's messages from the French President and the German Chancellor, and a review of elections for 2019. I hope you enjoy. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints on the Talk Station FM 107 AM 1240. It's a new year, but still an opportunity to find out what's happening around the world. As we start 2019, we have joining us this afternoon Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with Viewpoints Around the World. And Tom, starting off the program with Happy New Year to you.
And a Happy New Year to you too, Lockwood, and to all of our listeners.
Now, my question to you is, and I, by the way, had the pleasure of watching the New Year's celebration at Sky News. I was very intrigued by that. Tell us a little something about your New Year's events, and did you attend that amazing pyrotechnic show there at the Eye?
This year, I have been to it, and it is quite incredible. It's supposed to be the best fireworks display in Europe, although Scotland has a very good one as well. We had a murder mystery dinner, so we had lots of fun here.
Well, now, I did see where the mayor of London was criticized for having given the fireworks display somewhat of a European flag, flavor. I was watching it, didn't quite get the picture of it. But then again, I'm here in the States, and I'm not paying attention to the whole issue of the European Union and Brexit. But I was a little surprised by that. Have there been some critical remarks aired on
Well, it depends on which side of the fence you're on. Mm-hmm. You know, some people thought it was fantastic. Some people thought it was awful. I think from a political point of view, he did the right thing for Sadiq Khan, because I think 76% of Londoners voted in favor of remaining in the EU. And he, not next year, but the year after, is facing re-election. He is firmly nailing his flag to the European flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
Which also sort of sets him apart from Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of the Labour Party, who is prevaricating about exactly what he wants to do.
Well, with that said, and since we're talking about the European Union and Brexit, let's keep on that topic for a few minutes here as we talk about the beginning of 2019. And I'm curious, and we'll get to the issues here in the States here in a few minutes, but with the events there in the United Kingdom, and I have failed to ask you, what was the weather like that evening? I mean, there was a beautiful display. And by the way, I talk about
incredibly mild.
It was.
Incredibly mild. The temperatures, it's a bit cooler today,
mm-hmm.
but they've been in the high 50s, low 60s over Christmas period.
Wow. So is that...
It's very unusual. Usually this is a big... You know, it gets very cold. I mean, you know, these are the longest nights, mm-hmm. Shortest days.
Right.
But it's been not too much rain, a little bit, but not too much, and quite warm. I've been walking around my shirt sleeves.
Wow. Well, it's been kind of warm here as well. So we're expecting...
Yeah, but you're in North Carolina. You're in the deep south.
No, not that deep, but we're expecting...
We're on the same latitude as Siberia.
Oh, so there is a Russian connection with you. I couldn't quite figure that, make that
collusion,
connection.
Witch hunt.
Tom Arms.
Collusion.
Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. That was a beautiful one for the start of the 2019 year. Tom, let's talk about the fireworks display, which was spectacular. It was phenomenal. I talk about the Eye, and of course, that's the giant Ferris wheel overlooking the Thames. But is this something that's unique? I mean, does London take on a special pride about its New Year's events as opposed to other countries there in the European community?
Not since it started in the millennium, when they set out to have the best millennium fireworks.
Okay.
And they did.
And then they did it once, and they felt they had to keep it up.
Well, they've done they've done an excellent job. It was spectacular, and I just want to comment. I enjoy re-watching the Sky News, Leon Murdoch's operation, but Sky News, which we get via the cable. It's fascinating. All right, going back to the issue of Brexit, and of course, I mentioned Sadiq Khan and the mayor of London and the fact that he has apparently been criticized for sort of hanging his poster on the European...
Criticized by some and not by others.
Okay. Obviously, you're not one of them criticizing them, so we'll accept that for the evening. But Tom, what about the future of Brexit and 2019?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. It's still very much up in the air. Parliament resumes sittings next Monday on the 7th of January.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been told that they will be allowed to vote on Brexit in that week. So next week, we should have a vote on Mrs. May's deal or proposed deal.
Okay.
She is hoping that the Christmas break has taken some of the heat out of the situation, allowed people to think once, twice, three, four, five, six times about it, and come to the conclusion she's hoping that hers is the best deal on the table. Well, all the opinion polls indicate otherwise, shall we say.
And I've been paying attention to some of the pundits there in the UK on this issue. What is the feeling among the general populace in the sense of concerns, fears? When we last talked, it was 100 days from the eventual initiation of the exit from the European Union, which was particularly very important related to tariffs and trade. So we're now in the 90s. I haven't kept count. What's the general feeling among the population there in the UK?
Again, you know, it depends on who you speak to. If you speak to a hard Brexiteer, they're looking forward to a no-deal Brexit, and they talk about Project Fear and that there's really not going to be any problems. And if they are, they're going to be quickly resolved. And in the end, we're going to have a wonderful time. If you talk about the Remainers, they're terrified about the fact that we won't be able to get food and medical supplies, that our manufacturing industries will be badly hit, that a lot of jobs moved to the continent and everything. We had Woody Johnson, who is the American ambassador here, on the radio the other day, and he was asked about the possibility of a big free trade deal between Britain and America, which is basically one of the carrots which Mrs. May has held out for leaving the EU, saying, oh, we're going to have a big trade deal with America. And that will more than make up for the loss of any trade with Europe. And the ambassador said, no, you won't. Not if you go for Mrs. May's deal.
Wow.
You will only get that if you go for a no-deal Brexit.
Hmm. So
you won't get a big trade deal with the U.S., if you go with Mrs. May's deal. So, you know, whether or not people were listening to him on the radio, I don't know.
All right. Of course.
Trump has said more or less the same thing, I might add.
Yes. Real quickly, I'm going to move on to other items here for me. A lot to talk about with you today. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us, Viewpoints Around the World. What about the news that you're receiving there in the United Kingdom from countries such as Germany and France? Are they in any way trying to influence the decision by Parliament or possibly?
No.
Not?
No. Only in the sense that they're saying it's not, what has been agreed is not negotiable.
Okay.
So they're simply sticking to their guns. And that, in a sense, does influence it because the opposition parties are saying, oh, well, you know, let's vote down Mrs. May's deal and then we'll go back and renegotiate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Europeans are saying, no, you can't. We've done it. You know, we don't care who is in the government or who's running the government. This is the deal that's been negotiated and we're not changing it.
All right, we're going to get back to that and more here in just a moment with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And just to mention, this is the first conversation he and I have had in 2019. So I'm looking forward to a lot to talk about today here on several items. We were just chatting a moment ago about Brexit. Another item that I've paid close attention to, Tom, and I've been seeing coverage on this, the United Kingdom with an issue associated with immigrants coming literally to the shores there across the channel. What's happening, and is this in relationship to Brexit?
I think it's in relation to Brexit. A few pundits also agree with me. Since the beginning of November, we've had just over 200 people basically risk their lives in flimsy boats to cross the channel from France to Britain. And the Home Secretary, who is basically trying to project himself as a future prime minister, has declared this a national crisis. And I think, though, you have to put this in perspective, because immigration is a big issue as regards Brexit.
Right.
So I think
it is.
Partly what he's saying is, right, let's get this Brexit thing passed, because the proposal that Mrs. May has is very tough on immigration. So that's number one. Number two is he's trying to put himself forward as the person who can succeed Mrs. May by being tough on immigration. And finally, I think you have to take into account 200-odd people have done this crossing in 3 months. Out of 46,000 who have come to the UK in the past 12 months and sought political asylum, you have to look at the figures. I think if I were looking at it, I would say, yes, it is serious. It is serious for the people who are in danger of losing their lives.
Right.
By trying to cross the English Channel, the busiest shipping lane in the world,
but why
in the middle of winter?
Why would they be doing that in the middle of winter? In light of the fact that they're in the European community, why do they want to come to the United Kingdom?
Well, each one has a different reason. It could be simply that they don't speak French. They speak English. It could be that they have relatives here. It could be they have friends here. You know, they know somebody here.
So there's no notice.
You know, each one is an individual case.
You can't
do a blanket explanation for that.
Okay, I just wondered if possibly they just felt that they would be safer in the United Kingdom than they would be in France, Germany, or any other countries.
No, France, okay. Germany. We had 46,000 asylum seekers last year. 26,000, roughly, were approved and given asylum. France had, I think, 110,000, and Germany, 126,000.
Okay. All right, so just curious.
There's no... You can't say it's one country or the other.
All right.
We have much fewer than the others, simply because probably we're much further away.
Well, understood. The other aspect of this, and of course, has to do with the immigration and asylum seekers, and that has been one of the driving issues with Brexit, is it not?
It is.
Okay.
That's why I said, you know, it's by being tough on these people crossing the channel and calling it a crisis, which I personally don't think it is. By calling it a crisis, they are strengthening the Remain camp, the Leave camp, for Brexit.
All right.
They're strengthening the hard Brexit angle and Mrs. May's proposal.
All right. Well, speaking of immigrants and basically efforts to enter the countries illegally, let's move to the States here for a few minutes and talk about issues here in the United States and how they're being covered there in the United Kingdom and the European community. The topic, of course, the southern border, the president's efforts to establish a wall. How is that being covered? And what's the news?
Well, within the context of the shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically they think he's nuts.
Now, when you say they think he's nuts,
most of the press, most of the media here.
Okay.
They accept that there's a problem with immigration. They accept that there's a problem with refugees. But how many of those refugees actually come physically across the border? How many arrive in ports?
Right,
how
right.
many arrive by plane? How many, you know, all those sort of things. And secondly, it's being interpreted here as the president made a political promise and that the
yeah.
and he has to build the wall He has to build the wall to fulfill the promise. It's become totally political.
The concept of making a promise in a campaign, does that not hold water there in the European community?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Of course, promises hold water, but sometimes people make promises not fully aware or cognizant of the facts. When they get into office, they realize that there are more effective ways of doing things, in which case, you know, they explain to their voting public that there is a more effective way of doing things. What people are saying is that, in fact, a big concrete wall, or even steel slats, he has backed out a bit. He's talking about steel slats now on the concrete wall. But the wall is not necessarily the be-all and end-all.
You know, it has been noted several times in the media here in the States that the Democrats, the very Democrats that are fighting the issue of the wall, themselves have voted for a wall in years past. Does that get any coverage at all in the States?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It does.
Okay.
It gets coverage, the fact that most of the wall's already been built by previous administrations.
Any criticisms of that, about that, by any chance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there are criticisms of
okay.
it. Okay. And there are people who quite legitimately say there's an element of hypocrisy. And they say it's just the way that President Trump has built it up out of proportion. Out of proportion as to the resolution of the problem.
Okay.
Building the wall alone would not solve the problem.
But it would be an image issue. But
an image issue.
We've shared
a very expensive image issue.
Well, not comparison to the national budget.
$25 billion.
No, $5 billion.
He wants $5 billion, but most of the estimates say that it's going to end up costing about 25.
Right, which apparently he had that was an offer originally made to him, which he turned down. That's another time. Let's talk about a few other items happening.
It's never cost what they're estimated to cost.
Well, we know that. Yes, let's talk about the other decisions by the president related to General Mattis's resignation as the Secretary of Defense. How heavily was that covered?
Oh, that was covered very heavily.
Why?
I mean, people were shocked.
Why?
They were really, really shocked.
Why?
Mattis is seen, or was seen, as an oasis of common sense within the administration.
Hmm.
Someone who acted as a break on the president's more wild policies. And as a person who was a link between the president and the fighting man on the ground, who wanted to know that they were being protected.
When General Mattis was originally selected, there was a great deal of criticism about that selection, including
not here.
Really?
Not here. There was criticism about the selection of so many military men to the cabinet. But the exception to that was Mattis.
Wow.
Mattis was, his nickname was Mad Dog.
Well, one of his nicknames, but the monk also. He's known as the monk. But okay.
But he was respected as a very cerebral military man. And a lot of people took note of that. And that was certainly the message that was coming out of NATO headquarters. You know, his nickname may be Mad Dog, but he's anything but.
Well, he is also known as the monk. He had numerous nicknames. Is there a sense that this may impose some problem for NATO, the future of NATO? And what about the decision to slow down the departure from Syria? How is that being covered?
That's being covered. And it's basically being seen as a response to the criticism around the resignation of the defense secretary, of Mattis. How much will be slowed down and the details, we don't know. Everyone reported that ISIS is far from defeated.
Right.
It's still very much there. And there are problems with the Kurds and the Turks. You know, do you want to be seen to be totally alienating?
Is there destroying
your credibility by abandoning your allies?
Is there efforts now by the European community to be more involved in the issues in Syria and the Middle East?
France and Britain were the ones with the most troops there, and they both announced that they are not going to reduce their commitment in Syria. And I think the French have said they will probably increase theirs.
All right, we'll get back to
that.
But
they're not in the position to increase anything like, you know, to fill the vacuum left by the U.S.
Only
they're
seven.
Not the position to do it.
Only about 7,000 troops there. All right, we're going to get back to this in a moment.
That's a lot for British and French.
All right. We'll be back with our guest here in just a moment, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment.
Observations of an Expat by Tom Arms from LookAheadNews.com. Wanted, brave British politician. Experience, must be a dyed-in-the-wool Brexiteer, preferably a senior member of Theresa May's cabinet. Duties, the person chosen for this demanding and vital role must be willing and able to swallow their pride, admit their error, and put the interests of their country before self and party. They must be able to withstand abuse from former colleagues and friends, even death threats from the public. They must tell the British public in clear, concise, and indisputable language that they were wrong. They must make it clear beyond a shadow of a doubt that leaving the European Union was a misguided dream that is turning into a nightmare. They must say that the Brexit negotiated by Theresa May will reduce the former greatest empire in world history to the status of a European colony. Furthermore, that the only alternative being discussed by the British government, a no-deal Brexit, would seriously weaken Britain's economic and political position in the world, as well as threatening the livelihood and standard of living of every inhabitant of the British Isles. The person eventually chosen for this position must be highly persuasive. They must be able to convince voters who previously believed them that Britain would be better off outside the European Union that, in fact, after more than 2 years of negotiations, it is painfully obvious that they would have been wiser to vote Remain in 2016. Then there's the subject of Project Fear, which has recently been renamed Project Hysteria. The chosen applicant must unequivocally back up the experts who've said that Remainers are absolutely correct to be frightened of the consequences of Brexit and completely justified in being hysterical about the prospect of a no-deal Brexit. The dream of a plethora of free trade deals to replace European ties must be dispelled. The successful applicant should point out that Britain is leaving the world's single largest trading bloc for a completely uncertain future. Its former empire, the Commonwealth, has moved on and formed trading relationships with other countries. As for the United States, that government has made it clear that the arrangement negotiated by Theresa May's government is an unacceptable basis for a free trade deal with America. At the same time, it should be obvious that a no-deal Brexit would place Britain in the position of a supplicant, forced to accept whatever terms an America First Trump administration is prepared to offer. Britain's responsibilities to the rest of the world must also be spelled out in no uncertain terms. Its long history of democracy, liberty, and pragmatism must be called into play. The British people must be told that Brexit not only weakens the United Kingdom, it will also have a ripple effect on countries around the world. Those closest will be hurt the most: Ireland, Denmark, the Netherlands, Belgium, and France. The rest of Europe will also be damaged economically and politically. Britain's voice in the world's corridors of power, which has long been a voice of reason, will be reduced to a whisper because it voluntarily abandoned its influence in Europe. The position described must be filled immediately. The House of Commons begins its final debate on the Brexit withdrawal bill on Monday. The government has promised a vote next week, although it should be noted that identical promises have been made in the recent past. The successful applicant must be prepared to rise from Parliament's green benches at the start of next week or shortly thereafter and make the case for reversing Brexit. Finally, the successful applicant must tell British voters that duty to the national interest is greater than an obligation to a political pledge, that every effort was made to fulfil the promise of the Brexit referendum, but that it was an impossible task, and that the British people must accept that their best interests lie within the European Union. Remuneration? A prominent place in the history books as the person who did the right thing.
We now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And I failed to mention at the opening of the program, this portion has been pre-recorded to accommodate the sleeping schedule for Tom Arms, who is in London 5 hours ahead of us. Tom, let's go to stay with one other issue, and it actually segues beautifully into the topic of elections coming up. The topic, Elizabeth Warren announced yet 2 days ago that she is entering the race. How well covered is that?
You have to remember that we're still in the Christmas New Year period. Mm-hmm. It's been reported. It hasn't really been commented on. I think, just reading between lines from what I've read, that the controversy regarding her DNA and Indian ancestry, or Native American ancestry, I should say, has damaged her position a bit. But, you know, she's the first one in.
Okay, so when you say, damn it, is that of great concern, whether or not she is truly a Native American or American Indian, however you want to describe it?
I think the only thing of great concern, and I think Donald Trump has pointed this out, mm-hmm. is that the belief, the perception that she used her ethnic minority links to gain a position in law school, I think that is the concern. Not that she is Native American.
I've got to make note of that. Your source on that is really the criticisms from President Trump, who I gather really doesn't have much in the way of credibility in the European community, I just find that interesting.
What I'm saying is that other people here mm-hmm. have said he struck a note when he said that. He made some points which were listened to. And, you know, when he does make points that are listened to, people listen.
Very interesting. I'm glad to hear that. All right. Let's talk about points to be listened to. Emmanuel Macron has some challenges there in France, particularly on the issue of global warming, his efforts to raise the cost of fuels, which he has backed away from. His New Year's speech, what did he say? And then we'll go to that of Chancellor Merkel as well.
He said, basically, I may have given in this time, but I'm not going to do it next time.
Ooh.
That, you know, I'm going to get tough. I'm going to get really tough. And that I'm particularly going to get tough with the populist right. I don't like you. You don't like me. He didn't use those words, but it was all implied. He didn't crack a smile during his speech. He said that, you know, you think you got me, but you didn't. Now, what he's trying to do is to claw back some of the credibility he lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it remains to be seen whether or not the far right, which is totally disorganized. I know that the Front National is there, but there were no leaders for the Yellow Vest movement. There were no specific people whom you could point to and say those are the people leading the charge.
That should be particularly disconcerting in light of the fact that it was what we would call here in the States a grassroots movement, and it wasn't developed or led by a particular individual or defined group.
That's true, but at the same time, because there is no organization behind it, it's
sustainability
fizzle out much more quickly.
Sustainability is an issue.
It loses direction easily.
Yeah, sustainability is an issue. Before I go to Chancellor Merkel, I'm very curious. Emmanuel Macron, President of France, giving a speech New Year's, and we're going to talk about Chancellor Merkel's New Year's speech that you've mentioned here in our list. Is that a time of year when leaders give speeches there in the European community?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
right.
They all do.
All right. Let's talk about then Chancellor Merkel's speech.
Well, she, as you probably know, has said that she's going to step down as chancellor in 2021. She's already stepped down as leader of the CDU. And she said, basically, that the time of, you know, the past 2 years have been rather difficult, or 18 months have been rather difficult. There's been a lot of domestic problems, a lot of infighting within Germany. She said that is over with now, and that she will become more involved in foreign affairs.
Okay, we're going to get to the issue of elections in 2019 here in a few minutes, but you say she'll be more involved in foreign affairs, that she has not been in the past? I thought she had.
No, she no. But since the election, since the election about 18 months ago, she's basically been trying to hold on to power within Germany.
Okay.
Because she didn't get a clear-cut majority. Okay. She had to form a coalition. And so that was basically the she's been absorbed with that. She hadn't had time to
she's,
an opportunity to concentrate on European or foreign matters.
Does this mean that she'll be stepping in as a kind of a leader in the European community again?
I think she'll be more likely to step in more often. Yes.
Okay. What impact will this have on President Macron's efforts to become the new leader of the European community?
I think he would welcome it.
Okay.
I think that it's a lot.
Okay.
For one country or one person to take on, and if they can work together in tandem, which the French and German leaders have done in the past, then they'll be much more effective.
All right.
I think you would welcome it.
Okay. Associated with the European community and the European Union is the issue of the economy. And of course, here in the States, we've been paying close attention to a rather volatile stock market, as we describe it. Two quick questions. I want to move on because we're running out of time. The economy and the European community, we know that you've shared with us the concerns associated with the United Kingdom because of Brexit. But what about the European community? How is the economy there? And what impact might the announcement very early this morning that China's productivity has declined by almost a percentage point? Are these concerns that might impinge on these decisions with Brexit?
Can I also ask you, I mean, President Trump was very quick to take the credit when the stock market went up.
Right.
Is he taking the blame now that it's going down?
No, it went back up. Nobody's giving him credit for that. But that's another story. No, what about the situation with the economy there in the European community and China?
Well, you know, in Europe, as a whole, in the Eurozone, it's going to be a bit flat. The predictions for next year. I checked out a website which basically incorporates statistics from all sorts of different organizations, and they're predicting for next year the Eurozone will only grow by 1.57%. That is not very good.
No.
The G7, however, is not going to do very well either as a whole. 1.76% is the prediction for the G7. It's not going to be a great year for the world as a whole. They're predicting 3.8%, not bad.
Right.
But that means that's because a lot of the developing world is going to be growing at about 4%, 4 to 5%. Now, 4 to 5% sounds like a lot, and 1.5% sounds like a little, but you've got to remember from where they're starting.
Mm-hmm.
So 1.5% of several trillion is an awful lot.
No, it is.
4% of 100 million is not so much.
All right. The question associated with China and the fact that China's economy seems to be slowing down as a result, I would argue, because of the dispute with the United States particularly, is there a concern that this will influence the European community?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. And I think these figures could be much, there's a danger that these figures could be lower if the tariff war gets worse or continues.
All right. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. Tom, I want to get into the issue of the elections for 2019. That is a big issue, I might add. And of course, we've got the elections of 2020 just around the corner, and if there's going to be an influence on that. And then we'll wrap it up with some strange New Year's customs around the world here with Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio joining us this afternoon. Again, this portion has been pre-recorded. I want to talk about several things here with you, Tom, as we wrap it up. Elections in 2019 and strange New Year's customs around the world. North Korea. Got a note here. What exactly is the issue with North Korea?
Well, the issue of North Korea is that Kim Jong-un is telling Trump he'd better ease up on sanctions or he might start on his nuclear weapons again.
And of course, we've noted here, and has this been covered in the European press, that in fact, the North Koreans have continued construction of nuclear fissile material. Have you seen stories of that nature in the... Okay.
Yeah, I mean, nobody here ever believed that North Koreans, you know, I think if you're going to do these things, you have to ask yourself, you know, what is the actual aim of North Korea? What do they want to achieve by having nuclear weapons? And then ask yourself whether or not you can help them achieve that aim by other means. Is the aim legitimate? And can you help them achieve that aim by other means?
No one really understands what it is that North Korea wants other than total domination, probably, of that sphere of the world. But I say that tongue in cheek. I have no knowledge either. Let's move on to, I'm just curious about your focus on that for a moment. Elections in 2019. What are the big elections coming up?
Well, there are going to be 74 elections taking place around the world.
And many of them by countries that have now...
Russia, Israel, Canada... And I think a big one is going to be India. India, the world's largest democracy. Narendra Modi has a 50-50 chance of staying in. India now, with 7.4% growth, has the fastest growing economy in the world.
Right.
So I think, you know, watch India. Russia, you know.
So you think there's a question?
Putin is having troubles.
Who
is? Putin's having some troubles.
Oh.
He'll be reelected, but if he doesn't get a huge mandate, he could be having problems. The European Parliament is having elections. South Africa, Nigeria, Afghanistan, Greece and Poland, Canada. Those are some of the big ones.
All right. We'll talk about that at a later date because I think there are issues that really deserve some further discussion. Let's wrap it up here for a moment. Strange New Year's customs around the world.
Well, the one I like the most is the one in France, where you get to eat as many pancakes as you like. And even better is Estonia, where you have to eat 7 3-course meals on New Year's Day.
Seven
3-course meals. That's the custom. Switzerland's a bit of the opposite. I'm not certain about Switzerland. There they throw ice cream on the floor.
For what purpose?
It doesn't say. I couldn't figure that one out. But you might want to go to Chile. They go and sleep in the cemeteries with their loved ones. In Spain, as the 12 bongs go on the clock, you're supposed to stuff a grape in your mouth.
With each bong?
With each bong. And if you can get 12 grapes in, it's supposed to be good luck. Japan, you have to smile all day on New Year's Day. Otherwise, you'll be unlucky that year. Be very sad. In Peru, the women have fist fights to work out their grievances against anyone they didn't agree with. And then the idea is it's forgotten and they start afresh the day after. In Thailand, they throw buckets of water over each other and then they smear each other with grey talc.
Grey talc.
Don't ask me why.
Okay, with grey talc. Viewpoints around the world. New Year's Eve celebrations around the world. So generally, the world does, in fact, celebrate New Year's in spite of the fact that in, for example, China, their New Year's is a different time of year. It's several.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, generally speaking, yeah.
Did a lot of people pay attention to the events in New York City with the dropping of the ball?
Yes, they do. I do think London is taking over with the fireworks.
There's no question about it. And based on this year's debacle in Times Square, I think maybe we'll be paying closer attention to London in the future.
Can I just ask your listeners to say hello to the new addition to our family, Bear?
Yes.
Who's a West Highland Terrier Poodle cross, and he is 12 weeks old. I try to get him to bark, but he won't do it. He's in my arms here, and he's my Christmas present.
That's because he likes me. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Tom, Happy New Year to you and the family.
You too, Lockwood.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of The Talk Station.